Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, I'm broadcasting to you from the utterly magnificent Pacific Northwest. I'm telling you, we have such a gorgeous day here that anybody else came around, they'd probably want to move to this state. But I always like to tell them, we're guaranteed rain. It's either going to or it is. One of the two options. But regardless of that, because the sunshine, I think, is making me a little giddy today, I'm delighted to invite to the airwaves Patricia Walker. She has written a book called The Dance of the Electric Hummingbird. And Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Now, you have put this book together because of special experiences that you have. Now, you've been doing a lot of writing. You've written poems and articles that's been on the web. You've got a blog. And you're very much involved in communicating about the spiritual application of life.
Right.
However, your journey is what this book is all about, The Dance of the Electric Hummingbird. That's a very unique title. Why did you choose that title?
Well, a lot of reasons, actually. You know, the whole book is really about the dance we do between the world of spirit and the world of logic and how that affects our lives. And if you think about it, is there really such a thing as an electric hummingbird? A hummingbird represents the accomplishment of things that are said to be impossible, and unlimited joy, and finding miracles in our everyday life. And it's also a dreadnought guitar. So it had a lot to do with all of those things. And also one time when I talked to Sammy Hagar and I asked him if he were to describe his spirit as an animate object, what would it be? And he said, a hummingbird. And since his spirit obviously had so very much to do with my journey, put all these things together, and that's kind of how I came up with the title.
I really like what you've just said about Sammy, because that has a very strong positioning in your book.
Yes.
Because he had an impact. Now, you've got a poem in the beginning of the book, and it reads like this. You were born with ideals and dreams. You were born with greatness. You were born with wings. You are not meant for crawling, so don't. You have wings. Learn how to use them and fly. And this was written by Rumi many centuries ago, and I think that dovetails very nicely with the title that you chose.
Thank you.
Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. This is a place I've heard of. Some friends of mine have gone there. I've never been in Cabo San Lucas. But when I read through some of your descriptions, I really wondered, would I want to go to Cabo San Lucas?
Oh, you would.
Because of some of your experiences. However, that had a profound impact on you.
Mm.
Cabo San Lucas. Tell us about the first trip that you had to Cabo San Lucas that really, really started you on this journey of yours.
Well, my husband won an internet auction for a trip down to Mexico, and we'd been down there a couple of years earlier, and we both kind of got Montezuma's revenge, so I wasn't too keen to go back. But my husband said, well, there's this big rock star, Sammy Hagar, and he owns a bar down there called Cabo Wabo. And he goes down there and he performs during his birthday week in October. And why don't we go down there and try to catch a show while we're there? Well, I had never heard of Sammy Hagar before in my life. He was a lead singer for Montrose back in the 70s, and the legendary rock group Van Halen as well, and he had done a lot of solo albums, but I had never heard of him. My husband was a fan, sort of, but I had never heard of him before, so I thought, well, why would I, you know, care to go down there and see somebody I've never even heard of? Well, he talked me into it, and we went down, and because we both love rock music anyway, we wandered into Sammy's concerts, and during one of the shows, I started feeling something very strange. And I have been to hundreds of concerts in my life before, and never in my life have I ever had anything like this happen. I was in the crowd, and I felt a tremendous connection to Sammy. I could see like a liquid golden light flowing between us, and I thought, well, yeah, that's just my imagination. Why would I, you know, feel any connection to somebody I don't even know? But then I felt myself lifting out of my body. I was going higher and higher, just like the words in the song that Sammy was singing, even though I had never in my life heard this song before. I could see my body below me in the crowd of people at the concert, and I thought, oh my gosh, I probably shouldn't have had that second margarita. You know, maybe tequila is some sort of a hallucinogen, and I'm not familiar with it, so maybe I shouldn't have gone there. But before I knew it, I felt engulfed in this white light and this tremendous feeling of joy and love and complete acceptance. And I knew that I was in another realm of consciousness because I saw my soul there, and I saw God. And God was not a race or a religion or a gender, but a combination of both genders and all races and religions and even the lack of religion. And we were one. God was me, and I was God, and we were connected to everything. I saw how everything was connected. Everything in this world and worlds I couldn't even imagine existed but are out there. And I knew in that moment that the only thing that matters in the whole entire universe is love. And I was filled with it, and I understood everything. It was like a seed was planted in me at that moment, and it sort of continued to grow within me afterward. But the feeling that I had, it lasted just seconds, and then all of a sudden I found myself back in my body rocking out in this concert, and I thought, oh man, somebody must have slipped something into my drink when I wasn't looking. But if that were the case, I think it would have lasted for longer than a few seconds. And so from that moment, I was completely changed, and I felt like I had sunshine streaming out my pores. I felt like I was walking 10 feet above the ground. And even my husband noticed a change in me after the show. He was in a different area taking pictures at the time, and when I met up with him, I said, something really weird just happened to me in there, and I don't know what it was, but he said, you know, he doesn't believe in anything like that, so he's like, all right, well, I think you better get outside and get some air. But the more he looked at me, the more he said, something really is changed in you. So that was kind of what started it all, and from that moment, my life just completely changed.
A rock concert, that's the last place that you'd ever expect to have illumination. Your description of the environment, the crowds, the noises, the smells, everything going on, and that kind of an experience, that vibratory frequency, whatever pushed the aha buttons in you, was quite profound. Now, this wasn't the only trip to Cabo.
No,
that you made.
Right.
It was the beginning of more than one trip, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, we continued to go back after that several times, and we still do. And I've never had another experience exactly like that. I've had other experiences there that have connected me, I think, to the land there, to the rocks of Land's End and the arch down in Cabo. So I think there's something really, really special energetically about that area down there. I tried to do some research to see if I could learn anything about what, you know, if anybody had heard anything. I'd heard that Maui and some other places have higher energy than a lot of places on Earth, but I couldn't find anything about Cabo. So I think there were a lot of things involved in why it happened to me there and through Sammy. And I explore those in my book. As at first I was really skeptical, trying to keep my feet on the ground, thinking, what's going on? So,
mm-hmm. Now, you decided, because of this connection that you felt with Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, sure, Elvis Presley. A lot of people felt they had a connection with him, too.
Right.
And guess what? The poor guy, his life was made miserable because of these adoring fans many
exactly.
times.
Exactly.
But this was something for you that was so significant that you decided to write him.
Yes.
What happened when you wrote him?
I was just so changed, and I started having psychic abilities and things happening to me that I wasn't even sure I believed that these things could really happen to someone, but they were happening to me, and I was trying to understand what was going on. So I couldn't stop writing about it, because that's what I do, you know, I write. And so I wrote a poem about what was happening to me, and I wrote a letter to Sammy, and I told him about it, and he wrote back to me, and he said that he was honored to have been a part of my experience, and he loved my poem that I wrote, which is in the book, and he said he wanted to put it on his website. So that kind of began our correspondence, and from then on, we kind of established kind of a relationship, if you will, through letters, and we would speak to each other in passing and email and that kind of thing. And he always, always encouraged me to keep going, and he even recommended some books for me to read to help me understand what was going on with me. And he played a very big role through his own choosing, which is why this really differs from a lot of people's, you know, the Elvis thing, like you were saying, people being fans. Because in the first place, I didn't even know who he was. So it's not like I went to his show looking for a connection to, you know, a famous artist musician, because I didn't even know who he was, nor did I care at the time. So he voluntarily got involved and really, really helped me and encouraged me along the way and offered suggestions and kind of went above and beyond even. He wrote the endorsement for my book, and he's been telling people on the radio and in some of his concerts about me and my book, and he's even offering it for sale at his Cabo Wabo in Mexico where this all happened. So, yeah, so he's just been really super to me. And one wouldn't think a rock star would care, but that just says a lot about his character.
Well, more than that, it seems like there really is some kind of a connection, because he openly acknowledged it, and he apparently has had some experiences of his own,
right.
Which you go into talking about how at one performance he actually had you come up on stage
mm-hmm.
with him. And so there is something that just he recognized in you. There is this connection, and let's face it, we can have that with people, perfect strangers. There's something there that bonds us. We don't know what it is.
Right.
And it sometimes it's from a past life. You just don't know. And it's there. There's no way to explain it. It just
right.
really, really is there. Now, one of your challenges that you had which I can totally empathize with, is after you have an experience like this and your whole life is changed, you felt mm-hmm. that physiologically you were changing, mentally you were changing, spiritually you were changing. This had really had a dramatic impact on your life, and this kept going on like the Energizer Bunny. You'd have this situation, that situation. You couldn't separate yourself from it, which is very much a true experience for many people.
Right.
So how were you able to adjust to your everyday life? Because you felt your everyday life was pretty nondescript. There was nothing really exciting or woo-woo about it. Yet you started to have, as you said, these psychic experiences, these different happenings, synchronicity, coincidences that were happening more frequently than ever before in your life.
Right.
How did you work with that?
Well, I think for me, my exploration, to try and understand it in a logical sense, I really spent a lot of time investigating it and trying to find scientific explanations for what was happening to me. And I spoke to a psychologist who told me the things that I was describing were similar to what a lot of other people who have had experiences like this had described as well. And so he said, "No, you're not crazy. It's real. It's happened." I also spoke to I interviewed a lot of people for their input, and Sufi master and a Zen master, and they all agreed that everything that was happening to me was valid and true and real, and it wasn't just anything I imagined. So my need to try to explain it and my writing about it, I think, was what really helped get me through, sort things out and process it all and learn from it and actually pull what I needed from the whole experience, which was, you know, my definition of God and what spirituality is to me, the things that I needed for my life and the things that that my purpose for my life, which has always been, I've always wanted to be a writer my whole life, but as you mentioned, I was just kind of, you know, this nondescript life I was living, and being a wife and a mom, and not that I would trade that for anything. I adore my family, and they're wonderful, but it was just not satisfying to me in a spiritual sense. So my processing of all of this and my writing about it and everything not only brought the answer to my dreams, which was to be a writer, but it helped me come to terms with my definition of what I needed for, in a spiritual sense. So it all just came together in a self-realization that came in pieces, kind of. So
now, you have a number of photos in the book regarding Sammy and Cabo San Lucas, and there's just quite a few photos in here with you and some other people. You're being up on stage in Sammy's club in Lake Tahoe, and just all kinds of good photography that backs up what you're saying. Because some people might say, "Oh, gee whiz, how could this have happened? You know, you're meeting a rock star. It's not possible." Well, you've got the proof. You've got the photograph. But then you have a chapter that you call Enter the Dragon in your book. And at the very first part of that chapter, you have a quote by Joss Whedon, and this is how it reads: "Passion, it lies in all of us, sleeping, waiting, and though unwanted, unbidden, it will stir, open its jaws and howl. It speaks to us, guides us. Passion rules us all, and we obey. What other choice do we have? Passion is the source of our finest moments, the joy of love, the clarity of hatred, and the ecstasy of grief. It hurts sometimes more than we can bear. If we could live without passion, maybe we'd know some kind of peace, but we would be hollow." Joss said that, and I think those words are quite profound. And in many ways, it reflects part of this transformation that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. The experience lasted for minutes, But right. It has affected you for the rest of your life.
Right.
What would you say to someone that has an experience of their own, because everybody has their own individual happenings, how would you tell them to deal with it? Would you tell them to write like you did?
I think that just depends on the individual, because these things happen to people in whatever means they need to hear it. I have a friend who had an out-of-body experience that changed his life while he was fly fishing, and he happens to be a writer, so he dealt with it by writing. But I think, you know, it all depends on you and what your needs are and what you want to accomplish with your life. Mine has always been to be a writer, and so it's to go for, like that quote says, you know, that passion in your life, because that's what it's all about right there. You know, for me, I would do nothing but write if you would let me.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone else, you know, maybe they like to, you know, race cars or something. And so if they have an experience like this and it reveals to them, helps them discover what that passion is in their life, then they need to go for it. And maybe it's not writing, but maybe it's something else. But that's what you need to embrace, and all of the parts of who you are, which is different for everyone. So, this would reveal that to you when you have an experience like this. And you have to go for it with everything you have.
You have lost a very special, I'll say, one fur person. You had a dog that had cancer. Your mother died.
Yeah.
You had a number of these events occur. How, in going through the experience you went through, how did that enable you to deal with those transitions of those that you loved passing on?
Well, it kind of went away, I think, for a while, because I was in so much pain. And but I finally realized that you can't spread hope and light if you're living in darkness. And I knew that this whole experience happened to me so that I could kind of be a spokesperson for the average person who, you know, maybe not goes to a rock concert, but whatever you may be doing, and have an experience like this. So I couldn't encourage other people and spread my message if I was feeling so down. So I had to embrace those parts of me that were hurting due to all these terrible things that happened, and take those into myself, as well as all of the good things that happened, and process it. So I think what the experience did for me was help me to gain a perspective on all parts of myself and accept those and embrace those, so that I could move on. And that's not an easy thing to do when you lose someone you love. It just can be devastating. But when we embrace that part of us and realize that we don't have to let go of that, the grief becomes part of our lives that we go forward, and not that we ignore it by any means, but we acknowledge it and take it in as part of ourselves as well. So I think that was kind of how it helped me, just to see that that was part of me as well.
You have a chapter that's titled One Foot on the Path, Body and Mind to Follow. And in that, you found that you still had to search. You still had to reach out, and you were making contact with a gentleman called Shishin,
mm-hmm.
and that was the Zen Center. And you wanted him to be able to share with you his insights, and he did. And I think that was a very significant part of your experience as well, because you were basically opening up to a whole new level of yourself.
Yes. Yes, and I... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just... it was amazing because of the people that I met on this journey as well, really played a big role in a lot of it, in helping me understand what was going on with me. And not only that, but enriching my life in so many ways. And he was another one of those people that did that. He did really help me a lot. And when I thought, I finally found my answers in Zen, because I've always thought that perhaps that was where some of my answers might be. When my religion didn't answer the questions that I had growing up, I started looking in other directions for answers to my spiritual questions. And I thought maybe Zen was one, because I had studied martial arts and got a little bit of a taste of it through martial arts. And when I met this Zen master, and I met him obviously because of my experience, and I started going to Zazen a few times, which is a formal Zen meditation sittings. And boy, I sure realized a whole lot that way too, that this was not my road at this time. And that was a big thing for me as well, because I had told myself all my life that, oh, it's got to be Zen, it's going to be the answers that I'm looking for. But the whole time I was looking for answers outside of myself, and mm-hmm. they're inside of us, not outside.
You say open up your heart.
Yeah.
And that is something that for you really became aware that living in the present moment, having these experiences, and sometimes not even trying to figure out why,
mm-hmm.
just allowing them to be, really is quite liberating. How has your life evolved, and where do you see yourself at this time relative to that initial experience?
It's evolved in a lot of ways. I realize now that I have everything I need. Maybe I don't drive a Cadillac or, you know, the nicest car or have the nicest house on the block, but I have everything I need inside of me right now, and I have never been so happy in my whole entire life. So it's completely changed me, where before I was looking for something. I was looking for the answers just very desperately. And now I realize that they're inside of me, and that has made such a huge difference. There's such a difference between that peaceful feeling and that non-judgment and, that desperation for, I gotta find out, you know. And so, yeah, that's probably the biggest change it has made in me. I have never been happier. I now realize that whatever I want to manifest in my life, I can bring that to myself. The power of our minds and our spirits are just, incredibly much more than we realize. And I saw all this happen in my own life as it all unfolded little by little, and I came to realize that, I already have everything I need right here.
Patricia, what is your website? So if people want to find out more about you, your writing, your book, Dance of the Electric Hummingbird, where would they go?
It's www.baharockpat.net, and that's
baharockpat.net.
It's baharockpat.net.
Well, that's a dynamic web title. I really like that, and it fits with what you have written, Dance of the Electric Hummingbird. Patricia Walker, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. Check out baharockpat.net and find out more about this lady, her intriguing journey. It is one of a kind, as it is with all of us. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, It is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. You can call in to 888-627-6008. That's 627-6008, 888, the prefix number there. And I'm just really amazed at some of the information that I have come across. I am sent so many different items by people through email and through different publications that I'm sent. And one of the things that I have, and this is just a touch of trivia, can you imagine going to a party actually wearing beef, the meat, beef? Well, so I've got a picture of a gal in front of me that's actually what she did. And this is beyond me. I wouldn't be caught dead in this outfit. But anyway, there's a woman by the name of Gia Jim. She decided she was going to make a stylish dress out of raw meat. She had nothing that she could wear to a friend's party. Now, I don't quite believe that, but that's what she said. So, she is in Chicago. She made her entire dress, and I've got it here in front of me. It just is amazing. You'd have no idea it was made out of salami. Can you imagine? And it's thin, and it stayed in one piece, and she also added bacon to this dress. Now, I don't know how she did this. She said she started with a basic thick cotton dress and layered the meat on top, and then covered it with a clear vinyl. It took her 6 hours to make this dress, and she kept it refrigerated until it was time for the party. I mean, this, what we come up with as human beings just absolutely boggles my mind. Can you imagine going to a party smelling like salami and bacon? I don't think so, but who knows? But she got into Ripley's Believe It or Not because of this unique thing. It's just amazing, but it was really a real thing. So who knows what people are going to come up with. Life is extremely interesting. Donna Gasebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Now, quick like a bunny, I do want to mention... Thank you. We'll be going to the caller in just a moment. But quick like a bunny, I want to mention that the Emerald Spiral Expo is coming up for those of you in Washington. It's going to be on March 24th at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, and the time is 9 a.m. to 5. It is open to the public, free admission, and I'm going to be doing many consultations while I'm there, and I'm going to have buku books, so come on by and say hello. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Texas.
From Texas. Where in Texas?
A little small town called Mansfield, Texas.
Ah, is that near Austin anywhere, or is it another part of Texas?
It's in between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Oh, my goodness. Texas is such a big place.
Oh, I know.
Austin is one of my favorite places in Texas. It's been a long time since I've been to Houston, but I just loved Austin. I just thought it was just...
I know everybody does.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. What's your first name or initial, sir?
Mark.
Okay, Mark, let me give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask me anything you like. The first thing that is coming into my mind is stay organized. I think that you are working on actually more than one project, and you like juggling more than one situation at a time. You're sort of a multitasker in your own manner, and you like to keep things that you can keep yourself involved in situations that keep your interest going. And I think that that's a very good pattern for you because you do get bored. I do think, though, that because of economics, you must stay organized so that you're not going to feel like you're going 1,000 different directions and money is just flying out and you're not able to put it into the right place at the right time the way you want to. So be patient with yourself. Be patient with a lot of what is happening around you because there's quite a few upheavals that are going to be coming in between now and the 16th of June. Now, it's not devastating. It's just irritating. So you need to know that the adage, and this too shall pass, is probably going to be a good mantra for you so that you can just flow through these changes that are being brought into your environment. You're not asking for them, but they are going to be there regardless. I really think you have a love of travel. You enjoy different cultures. You have a curiosity about life. And it's very easy for clutter to take a very strong positioning in your life. So you've got to stay organized so that you can keep things, one, in order, so you can stay on top of your projects, as you know you need to do. And then number two, every once in a while, you need to get out and do something totally frivolous, just totally frivolous, nonsensical, whimsical, so that you can break an intensity that you often have about your work. You need to shift. And that will keep you in a modality of enthusiasm that I think will carry you forward for the next 2 years easily. But you've got a couple of projects that you're going to be finishing this year. One, it may not be until around the 13th of December. The other one could be done a little bit earlier in the fall period of the year. But I think, again, you're always going to have something going on. You don't like having nothing in front of you. You like to have projects of various types that you can keep your interest involved in. And I think that's good. That's just who you are. You'll be that way when you're 105. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, actually... A couple. One, like you said, I do love different projects, and I love that, but I'm at a point now where what do I concentrate on?
All right. Why don't you tell me what you're involved with right at this moment? Let me see if I can help you.
Okay. One is a internet-based organization and business that I'm slowly getting other people involved in, and hopefully that will pan out. Another one is doing insurance. That's what I do. And, golly, what are the other things that I'm working? The other one is just family-related stuff.
Well, and your family-related stuff, you're going to have to weave in. And that's ongoing. That's just something that you're going to be doing the dance of the moment with. When it comes to the other two components, the internet project, whatever it is involving, and we don't have time to go into a lot of detail on that, but I would say the internet project probably is going to be sort of in a secondary positioning. The insurance is going to be in a first positioning for about 6 to 8 months. And I think that's going to be in the first positioning of priority just because of practicality. Then I'm seeing you being able to figure out how you can manage that and then bring the internet project more into a positioning that is going to be in front of the insurance. So you're working out some of the variables right now. And I don't have a problem with that at all. So I believe that your internet project is going to expand beyond what you're looking at right at this moment. And that is why you're a little bit slower on the uptake with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're not going backwards. So just be patient with what you're doing. And again, stay organized. If you could have a section of office, maybe in your home or wherever it is that you work, and say, okay, it's this file that's going to be related to the internet, this file that's going to be related to the insurance, and I'm not going to mix my papers on my desk even. I might just say have a section on my left where I deal with this, and then the section on the right I deal with that. Keep organized, because that is really what's going to enable you to maintain your clarity. So this is something you're just going to do, and you're going to do it very, very well. But again, the positionings of priority are going to shift as the year goes on.
Okay. Okay, great. And the other question I have is that, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I have a nephew that his name is Blake, and he's kind of out there, and I'm trying to figure out how to reach him.
With Blake, the best way to reach him is with imagination. He's very artistic. He's got a lot of challenges. The best thing that could happen to Blake is if someone put him in a helicopter, flew him over a mountain in Kansas and dumped him so that he could... I'm serious, because he just doesn't get being grounded and being in reality. Now, I don't want to take away any of his creative stuff, but he doesn't have any discipline. And I feel if someone could do that with him and say, okay, this is what you're going to do. You've got your food, you've got soap, and you've got water. You may have to heat it if you want warm water to bathe with, but these are the basics, kid. This is what you're going to have to do. I have no idea how old he is, but to me, he's like a 16-year-old. How old is he?
He's 20. He's 20.
Yeah, he hasn't grown up yet. He doesn't.
Nope.
He's off in la-la land in his head, and he lives quite a bit in his head. He doesn't know yet. He hasn't the maturation to know how to live an everyday life, keep his dreams alive, and deal with the responsibilities of life. So the practicality is something that he's going to have to learn one way or the other. And I would say, because he's 20 years of age, using imagination and taking him on some excursions with you and when he's interested, but you have to really be keen and alert to what captures his interest. If it's music, if it's art, if it's being, you know, in historical environments, maybe he loves fish, whatever it is, you've got to figure out what it is and then orient those excursions towards those modalities. Now, this is one young person that if this young person gets involved with drugs, is really going to have a tough time. Drugs and alcohol with this person's physiology is a no-no. It is really a serious situation, and everyone's metabolism is different, and his just doesn't do well with that kind of stuff.
I'll touch bases with him about that.
But it's hard. He just doesn't see the scope of reality.
Yeah, we've been struggling with that all his life.
Well, that's because he's so imaginative. This kid has a mind that's sort of like a Star Trek special.
Yeah.
So he's not going to fit into the modalities of a lot of the people around him, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to be able to live life and to be able to enjoy life and realizing you can be an individual, that's part of what growing up is understanding your own individuality, just like my guest expressed earlier, but doing it in your own way. And it's a journey. It's not always easy, but it is a journey.
Okay, that gives me hope.
Wonderful. Mark, thanks so much for calling. I've got to go on a break, and I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, ma'am. Alrighty.
You're welcome, sir. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, give me a call if you want. 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. I have my Quantum Mind 3 class that's going to be coming up in April. This is going to be a class where you will learn about Chinese medicine, and also in the intuitive part of the class, we're going to be discussing dreams, how you can interpret them, and also we're going to be doing mind development activities and exercises. It's very interactive. If you would like to be a part of this class, it's taking place in the University Place, Washington. We've held a class at the particular location of 5250 Bridgeport Way West. If you're interested in it, give me a call. I'm having people signing up now. We only have space for 25 students, so this will be on April 14th. So I invite you to contact me, 253-582-5604, to get your registration, and more information is going to be going out via email. And just get in touch with me. If you want, just send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. A touch of history that I wanted to share with you today. And this took place in March of 1882. Dr. Hermann Helprecht is a professor of Assyriology at the University of Pennsylvania. This gentleman had been given two small chips of agate. Now, this stone, these two little pieces of stone, had writing on them. And he was totally stumped. He had studied Assyrian history, knew so many things, but he just could not figure out what these stones were saying. Now, he had sketches of what they believed were the original items that these stone chips came from, and how they figured this out, there was an expedition to the Temple of Bel in Babylon. And he thought they were parts of finger rings, and he just said, oh, well, I can't figure this out. So he put them into a group of unclassified items. Now, this one night, and it was in the middle of March of 1892. I said 82. I had the date wrong. It's 1892. He was so exhausted. He had worked such long hours, and he had a unique experience. There was a priest that appeared to him. And Helprecht, in this dream state, asked this phantom priest to take him to the lost treasure chamber of the temple. And this tall, he said the figure was very tall, very thin, and this figure showed him the route to a room. It had low ceilings, no windows, and pieces of agate and lapis,
lapis were scattered all across the floor. Now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story after we take this caller's call. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi there. It's Kelly, and I'm calling from California.
Where in California, Kelly?
Oh, in Sacramento.
Ah, the northern part. Okay, dear.
Yeah.
First thing that I want to say to you is keep the faith. You have been having what some might describe as a doubting Thomas moment, and that's natural. We all are going to have those feelings where, gee whiz, am I really going to bring this together? And the answer is yes. There is a lot of cleaning up that's going on this year with you. A lot of loose ends, items that have to be taken care of, and you've sort of been procrastinating on some of it, and finally you said, I can't do this anymore. I've just got to take care of these loose ends that are around me. And I want to congratulate you because you've done the right thing. This is what you need to do. And you're going to find that you will be able to take care of everything by the time, I'd say between the 3rd of August and the 7th of September. The loose ends pretty much are going to all be taken care of, and you're going to feel like you're on a roll in your life, as if things are finally breaking for you. Professionally, personally, you're going to feel like a big weight has been taken off of your mental shoulders. So your work is cut out for you. Stop doubting yourself. You really are going to be able to achieve what you want to achieve. And I think that you're discovering parts of yourself that you didn't even realize were there. You're discovering that you're very skilled in communicating with people, where you usually used to stand back and not say anything because you didn't want to be thought of as someone that might be stupid. You're not stupid. You just need to practice more. So I would just encourage you to join something like Toastmasters, be a part of that, and just find your voice. Because I think you're delightful, and people are going to thoroughly enjoy being around you, and you've got a good sense of humor, and you just need to let it happen. What's on your mind, dear? What would you like to ask me?
Well, you tapped into a lot of stuff, but the issue I'm dealing with is literally just knowing exactly how much financially I have left and not really knowing exactly how I'm going to make manifest this abundance from somewhere, but trusting that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, do you see any of the things that you just mentioned happening sooner, like in May or April of this year? Or?
A few things are going to come in between April and May, and actually between April and June. But it is going to be because of your earnest effort that you're going to be able to see some things evolving. If you just sit back and wait for things to happen, you're not going to be pleased with the results at all.
Yeah.
It takes your energy, dear, your action, your concentrated focus. This is the year for cleaning up the loose ends, and nobody ever has fun doing that. But you can if you just recognize that you have to open your mouth, speak, let people know who you are, and then look at opportunities that come your way and take advantage of them.
Yeah, it's actually what I've been doing a lot of lately. And it's interesting because I'm not sure if the doors are necessarily opening with those people, but things seem to happen because I do it.
Correct.
That makes sense.
Hun, I'm looking at the clock, and I have to tell you, we've got to go. I'm out of time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so delighted I had a chance to talk with you. And for those of you listening, I'm delighted you could go join me today. And tomorrow we are going to be talking about how to feel like a millionaire, the Millionaire's Handbook. Don't miss it. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And we'll be continuing the story of the mystery and the dream. Well, you'll have to find out about it tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.